Good afternoon, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my latest QAnon update. Today is May 26th. This Twitter thread began on May 24th. Q posts, for those of you who are following at home, can be found on qmap.pub, also qanon.pub, and a number of other websites. Android apps are available in the Play Store. Qmap, Q Alerts, and Q Alerts Lite are the apps that are available right now. No apps available right now for iOS, as far as I know, although the Q Map may be available for iOS at some point. My theme for this broadcast is the Circular Firing Squad. And this is something that Sean Hannity has been talking a lot about lately. But former President Barack Obama actually talked about it as well.
Among progressives in the United States, maybe it's true here as well, is a certain kind of rigidity where we say, I'm sorry, this is how it's going to be. And then we start sometimes creating what's called a circular firing squad, where you start shooting at your allies.
And that same day, on the 24th, the president tweeted out a cartoon of John Brennan, James Clapper, and James Comey all pointing at each other in a sort of a circular firing squad, implying that I'm not to blame. He's the one who did it. Interesting. The president had this to say. I'm going to listen to this clip here real quick.
These are bad people. You know, a lot of people say deep state. I don't say deep state. We have a lot of bad people, and I think they're being found out. I think right now, I saw where Comey is blaming this one, and Brennan's blaming another one, and they're going against each other. And Clapper, I think yesterday, maybe is blaming President Obama. Oh, so surprised to see that happen.
I don't think he was surprised to see that happen. But we are seeing this circular firing squad, where the deep state is now taking shots and blaming each other. You might think that that's funny, however, we have a lot of that same thing going on inside our own community, in the Q community. A super PAC, which I'm not going to name, that was pointed out by Q back about a month ago, has taken advantage of the distrust that runs through our movement. After the super PAC posted old photographs of me with their leader, I was then accused of secretly working with the super PAC to undermine our movement. And some of you have seen this post, what if Praying Medic is preying on innocent, faithful, pro-MAGA people? What if he was another Corsi in the making? Now, some may object here saying, hey, Neon, why? You've been taking donations too. Isn't this hypocritical of you? This is an article from Neon Revolt from about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, where Neon Revolt basically suggested that I was a plant inside the movement. Well, as fate would have it, after Neon Revolt also attacked another leader in the Q movement, Ginger McQueen, who is the treasurer of the Super PAC, actually claimed that Neon Revolt was working with them and Zero Hour to help infiltrate the movement and take us all down. Now, I don't believe for a minute that Neon Revolt is a plant or is working with the MAGA Coalition, which is the super PAC. Neon Revolt here defends himself and takes some screenshots saying that Adam Gingrich, who is the leader of the super PAC, didn't give Neon Revolt any money. And this just gets into a lot of the weeds that I don't really like getting into. But I think Neon Revolt was used by MAGA Coalition and the people who hate Q and hate me and to attack us and to get the little circular firing squad going inside of our own movement. So the super PAC has a strategy. I believe they tried to attack us from the outside. It didn't work. So now they have a different strategy, and that is to get us to attack one another from inside the movement to create our own circular firing squad, which seems to be working. Whether it works long-term or not is going to be up to us. We have to decide if we're going to continue pointing fingers at each other and attacking people in the Q movement, other Q decoders, because of our insecurities, because of jealousy, because of whatever. I am not into attacking people. I know we all have differences of opinion. We all have different belief systems. We all have different ways of approaching things. I think as long as someone is doing good Q decodes, providing good information, and supporting the president, I think that is what matters. I think the rest of the stuff doesn't matter, at least not in with respect to people being able to do decodes. I have a lot of people that I disagree with their, you know, religious views and things of that nature, but I don't call those people out publicly, and I'm not going to. If you disagree with someone's religious viewpoints, that's fine. That doesn't mean you have to make a big public statement about it. You can just ignore them. You can unfollow them. You cannot say anything about them. That's what I do. If I, there are people in the movement that I just have fundamental disagreements with, I ignore them. They can do their own thing. It's not my job to point out every person in the movement whose views I disagree with. I think unity is the best thing, and we need to be working toward unity. All right. On the 23rd, Q posted this. It's a link to a Fox News article, and it is about D-class. President Trump gave declassification authority to Attorney General William Barr, and this has kind of been in the news for the last 3 or 4 days. If you've been hiding under a rock, you may not know about this, but the long-awaited announcement from the president is finally out. He has given Attorney General Barr authority to declassify any and all documents that he believes will help people understand what happened before and after the 2016 election. And it says here, Attorney General Barr has been delegated full and complete authority to declassify information pertaining to this investigation. So he has full and complete authority to declassify anything he wants. This is from the White House, and it's a memo that goes to the Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of Defense, Attorney General, Secretary of Energy, Homeland Security, Director of National Intelligence, and the CIA. All these departments, agencies, are instructed to cooperate with Attorney General Barr's investigation. And they are required, as far as I understand, to give the president whatever he, I'm sorry, Attorney General Barr, whatever he is asking for. All right. Before he headed to Japan, the president had this to say about his trust that Attorney General Barr would do the right thing regarding declassification. Let me listen to this.
It's so phony. The Attorney General, let me explain to you something. The Attorney General is one of the most respected people in this country, and he has been for a long period of time. He's going to look at a lot of documents. Some he might find interesting, maybe he'll find none interesting. But for over a year, people have asked me to declassify. So what I've done is I've declassified everything. He can look, and I hope he looks at the UK, and I hope he looks at Australia, and I hope he looks at Ukraine. I hope he looks at everything, because there was a hoax that was perpetrated on our country. It's the greatest hoax, excuse me. It's the greatest hoax probably in the history of our country, and somebody has to get to the bottom of it. We'll see. But for a long period of time, they wanted me to declassify, and I did.
And that is your mic drop moment from the president. He's going to let the Attorney General declassify whatever the heck he wants to declassify. And I think that is a pretty amazing statement. So the people who want this to stay in the dark, they are not going to get what they want. It's not staying in the dark. All right. This is from the 23rd. Q posted this. Let me click on it and enlarge it a little bit. It's an old drop from August 31st of 2018. And this is where Q explains the purpose of FISA surveillance and entering people into the Mueller investigation. This is on the left-hand side. Q writes, important to remember, page is public, remainder are still classified, plus Cruz, Q. All right. Page is public. That is a reference to Carter Page and his FISA application. It's been made public in redacted form. The remainder of the FISA applications are still classified. We know from Sheila Jackson Lee, who stated in a congressional hearing the other day that General Flynn, George Papadopoulos, and Paul Manafort were all under FISA surveillance. And Q has suggested Ted Cruz was also under surveillance. Although I don't know if that's FISA, it could be, we'll find out. And just a kind of a brief review over here on the left-hand side in this old drop. Q wrote, the setup for these people is FISA warrant was issued and approved against Manafort. He was entered into the Mueller investigation. And that was after he made contact with Natalia Veselnitskaya. So you have to have a decoy setup meeting. They met with Jared Kushner and Don Jr. and Manafort. And, oh, hey, they had a meeting with a Russian, and now we can put them under FISA surveillance. So you surveil them, you enter into them into the Mueller investigation. In the Mueller investigation, they are threatened and intimidated and pressured to sign a confession and basically admit guilt to some charge. And then they're told not to say anything about the illegal surveillance. So that happened to Page, that happened to General Flynn. Q wrote, you must target, remove, and silence all those who were illegally targeted for FISA surveillance, plus UK assist. And then he talks about how when the UK does spying, because these people are not UK citizens, the UK can do advanced umbrella surveillance. Combine that with FISA surveillance, you have a very large circle of people that you have under surveillance with that type of surveillance. And so that's where that's at. We're going to talk about Carter Page's FISA application here in just a minute. All right. This is the larger drop that I put down for people to read, a little bit clearer. And then we have this post, and Anon posted the previous drop from Q. Now, this was from, let's see, what's the date on there? March 2nd, 2019, where Q suggested that Ted Cruz, what was a setup insurance file that's created, assuming POTUS would become the nominee. POTUS number one, Ted Cruz number two. Was Cruz a target of a separate illegal spy campaign? And then Q asked, when will the public discover that Ted Cruz was also illegally surveilled? So I think we're going to find that out pretty soon. And Q responded to this post by the Anon and said, follow the watch. So it looks like we have a watch post, a watch proof coming up that is going to be connected to proof that Ted Cruz was illegally spied on. Now, we still have these two watch markers, marker one from March 27th, and we have marker two. And the dates on these, I think, if I remember correctly, are the 19th and the 27th. And those are the dates. We don't know exactly when, if it's going to be this month or next month. We don't know what the relationship is. It could be that we're going to get a different watch proof that will show us what the evidence that Ted Cruz was spying on. I don't know, but Q did say follow the watch, so I guess we have something to look forward to there. All right, moving along, we have a question from an Anon. Is POTUS going to ask the Queen about UK assist? So after the President gets back from Japan, I think in the first week of June, he's going to the UK, and then he's going to go to France. He'll be there for the anniversary of the landing on Normandy Beach, June 6th. So Q responded to that, foreign assist underway with DOJ. So that whole situation is already being taken care of. Q posted a link to an article by The Guardian. It is about GCHQ Chief Robert Hannigan resigning 3 days after President Trump was inaugurated. And then Q wrote that two hashtags, Fly May Fly. Right, we've seen this before. Whenever someone is about to be sent off, we get the hashtags fly May, fly or fly, Al fly. We had a fly Sid fly once, and we're gonna get another one here in just a minute. So Theresa May announced that she is going to be stepping down as prime minister. And this was a video in a bar as these people were watching her live on this big screen, and people just went crazy celebrating. Nigel Farage seems to be handling everything okay. His party won big, the Brexit party, in the recent elections. Also in the elections, just getting news that Marine Le Pen's party is going to beat Macron's party in the French EU elections. Also in, I think, Italy, Salvini's party is doing really well in those elections. I think earlier this week or last week, in the Australia elections, there was an upset, unexpected, the far right candidate won there. So the globalists are kind of losing steam right now, and the populists are winning. Good news coming out. This is the link to the article about Hannigan, GCHQ chief, who resigned 3 days after Trump was inaugurated. All right, tweet from George Papadopoulos. I'm kind of glad I waited to do this thread, because after Q had posted the next day, there's some interesting stuff that people were putting out on Twitter. George Papadopoulos, fortunately, so many of these clowns had started to spy on me were from the UK, Australia, and Italy. Those governments have absolutely no loyalty to the Obama administration, Comey, or Brennan now. They are going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. All right, then he also tweeted this out. Italy was the first to flip. They are giving up Joseph Mifsud. The rest of the dominoes are all falling after him, implicating the UK, Australia, with the FBI and CIA. And as you know, we heard President Trump say about William Barr, I hope he looks into Australia. I hope he looks into the UK. He knows. He knows very well who was spying, who was doing it, and what they're up to. All right. So now we have this drop from Q. This is on the 23rd. Why did POTUS circumvent Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats when the normal protocol for declassification would be to have Coats declassify things? Why did he give it the authority directly to Attorney General William Barr instead of Coats? Well, all right, so this was on the morning of the 25th. This is an interview with John Brennan, and it is in response to a statement that Dan Coats made regarding the declassification. I'll let you listen to this entire thing. It's an explanation of Coats' statement, and then it's John Brennan's response to it.
I want to read the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats' statement, and get your reaction to it. He says, much like we have with other investigations and reviews, the intelligence community will provide the DOJ all the appropriate information for its review of intelligence activities related to Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. As part of that process, I am confident the Attorney General will work with the intelligence community in accordance with long-established standards to protect highly sensitive classified information that, if publicly released, would put our national security at risk. What do you think of that statement?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Dan Coats. I think he is trying to protect the men and women of the intelligence community. And what he says in there is that they will provide, the intelligence community will provide the appropriate information. And I think that's critically important. What is that appropriate information? What is the basis for those requests? But I do hope that Dan Coats and Gina Haspel stand up to this effort by Mr. Trump, which really does seem to go into the sensitive files, the very sensitive, whether it be technical or human source files, and to pull out of that information that they may see fit as to defend Mr. Trump. So I implore Dan Coats, Gina Haspel, and others to stand up to this, unprecedented act on the part of Mr. Trump, who doesn't understand nor care about the national security concerns of the intelligence community.
All right. Well, that was a whole lot of information, but it's Brennan said he trusts Dan Coats, and you could read into Coats' statement a suggestion that he may resist Barr. He said, in accordance with long-established standards to protect highly sensitive classified information that, if publicly released, would put our national security at risk. Of course, Coats isn't going to want to declassify anything that, and as they usually say, sources and methods, and there are other reasons, ongoing grand jury investigations, things of that nature. There are legitimate reasons why some things should not be declassified, but you could kind of read into that, that Coates may be a little resistant to what Barr wants to declassify. Brennan is saying that he hopes Coates stands up to Barr. Also, he's hoping that Gina Haspel stands up. She's a CIA director. All right. Jeff Carlson at the Markets Work did a nice thread on the declassification, and he did point out this. It was Dan Coates who assisted with the declassification of the 99-page ruling by Judge Collier on abuse of the NSA database and FISA surveillance. So there is some evidence on the side of the ledger that Coates maybe should be trusted. However, there was also some evidence that maybe he shouldn't. In February, Washington Post, citing anonymous sources, published this article saying that President Trump was growing frustrated with Dan Coates. Some people were fearing that Coates might be fired and replaced. This was after the intelligence heads, Haspel, Coates, Paul Nakasone from NSA, did a briefing of the Senate Intelligence Committee. They do an annual briefing. And there were some things said in that meeting that the president took exception to. So this article came out, and it basically stated that the president was, you know, these people were fearing that Trump may try to fire Coates. All right, now, in response to that article, Adam Schiff said this: Dan Coates has been doing an outstanding job as Director of National Intelligence. He speaks truth to power and gives policymakers the best intelligence possible. He is loyal to the country and Constitution, and that is as it should be. Now, Adam Schiff, who is current chair of the House Intelligence Committee, weighs in and comes to this aid and support of Dan Coates. What does that tell you? Well, Q responded to that post, linked to Schiff's tweet, and said, "We really started something, didn't we? Well, now we know he's a bad apple. Fly, Coates, fly." So if you're trusting Q and Q's intel, we have reason to believe Dan Coates probably cannot be trusted, and it is only a matter of time before he'll be leaving once the president finds someone to replace him, General Flynn. All right, Q wrote this. This is what I showed you previously. Important to remember, page is public, remainder is still classified. One of the Anons was confused. Is page referencing a web page or a person, and was Cruz spied on as well? This Anon replied, Carter Page Anon. And then Q responded to that. The Carter Page FISA application is public. The remainder are still under classification until today. Waterfall of proofs coming. Post D-class Q. Woo! More proofs coming. I am digging that. All right, so because the rest of these FISA applications, I think in the future we're going to see the FISA applications of that were used to get FISA warrants on Paul Manafort, General Flynn, and George Papadopoulos. We're going to be looking at these eventually, and I thought, you know, what the heck? Let's plow through Carter Page's FISA application and see what we can learn from it. So, and that's why it took me so long to do this video and this thread. I did a deep dive into Carter Page's FISA application. I had looked at it before, but I'd never done a thread on it. So from this point on, until we have some more drops from Q this morning, we're just going to go through Carter Page's FISA application. I'm going to point out some things that are just good to know, things of general interest. All right, now this is just a screenshot of current judges who are serving on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISC, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Application, FISA, is an application. FISC is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. All right, and these are the judges. Not that it matters all that much. We will be talking about a few of them in just a minute, however. All right, a redacted copy of the original Carter Page FISA application and its three renewals can be found in a number of different places. This document is actually heavily redacted. I didn't realize how much of this had been redacted, but a lot of the information is redacted. But I'm going to go through this and show you the things that we can learn from it. All right. So the original application and the three renewals are all found in this one document. The original application is first in the PDF, and if you keep following it through, you'll see the signature blocks for the FBI, the Department of Justice, and then the judge. And then you'll see the renewal, the first one, their signatures, then you see another renewal and another renewal if you just keep going through the document. They're all in the same PDF. All right. This is the first page. And let's see, interesting to note here, on the first page is the identity of the federal officer making the application. This application is made by, redacted, Supervisory Special Agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, whose official duties at FBI headquarters include supervision of the FBI's investigation of the above captioned target based on information furnished to, redacted. We don't know who the person is who filled out this form. I would bet you a ham sandwich it's Peter Strzok. He is a supervisory special agent, and we know that Attorney General Barr said they kept this investigation tightly confined to a small group of people at the top of the FBI. And I will bet that when this thing is unredacted, we're going to find out that Strzok was the one who filled out this application. We don't know, because it is redacted, but just my suspicion. After all the information is put into this document, there is a signature block. This is where the supervisor special agent signed to verify, I declare under penalty of perjury that the foregoing information regarding Carter Page is true and correct. And the date is redacted. It's October of 2016, sometime in October. Don't know the date. Name redacted. All right. James Comey signed the original application. He also signed two renewals. The final renewal, the third renewal, was signed by Andrew McCabe because Comey had been fired by then. Again, October 2016, we don't know the date, exact date. The original application was also signed on behalf of the Department of Justice by Sally Yates. And the original was approved by Rosemary Collier. She is the FISA judge that approved this. She is also the FISA judge who wrote that 99-page opinion reprimanding the FBI for abuse of the FISA system and the NSA database. So I would imagine there are some conversations going on with Rosemary Collier and some other people on the FISA court, just so you know. The other ones are Michael Mossman, judge, he signed the first renewal. Ann Conway is a judge who signed the second renewal. That was in April 2017. And Judge Raymond Deary is the judge who signed the third renewal in June of 2017. All right. And this is just information that at some point in the future, we may need to refer back to this. So you know, if you ever at some point need to know this information, you'll have it on this video and on the thread. Okay. Basis for the FISA request was the assertion by the FBI that Carter Page was acting as an agent of a foreign power, specifically Russia. This is the allegation. Carter Page, redacted, knowingly engaged in clandestine intelligence activities other than intelligence gathering activities for or on behalf of such a foreign power, which activities involved or are about to involve a violation of the criminal statutes of the United States or knowingly conspired with other persons to engage in such activities and therefore is an agent of a foreign power as defined by 50 USC. This application targets Carter Page, and he is believed to be a subject who is being recruited by the Russian government. Okay, this is the charge against Page, why they're using it. All right, second. The FBI needed to establish the idea to the court that Russia was a credible threat to the 2016 presidential election. So they cited public statements made by Director of National Intelligence James Clapper during a recent interview with an identified news organization. You're going to see this a lot. Director of National Intelligence stated Russia has tried to influence U.S. elections since the 1960s. During the Cold War, there's a tradition in Russia of interfering with elections, their own and others. All right, so look, every government interferes with elections. To say that governments are not interfering with elections is just kind of foolish. However, it does establish in the mind of the court that there is some legitimacy for suspecting that Russia may want to interfere in the election. And they always do. It's not anything new. Exhibit 2 involved WikiLeaks and their publishing emails obtained from the Democratic National Committee, the Podesta emails. On or about July 2016, WikiLeaks released a trove of emails from the Democratic National Committee. There has been speculation in the U.S. media that the Russian government was behind the hack. Oh, wait a minute. You can provide evidence to a FISA court based on speculation by the U.S. media that Russia hacked these emails? Russia has denied involvement in the hack. Nevertheless, we're going to put this in a FISA application because we really want the FISA court to think that Russia is really trying to get this election in the bag. All right, so that's exhibit number 2. All right. Now, let's talk about those pesky WikiLeaks emails. This is an interview that one of the interviews that Julian Assange did with Sean Hannity where they discuss that very subject. Let me listen to this.
Did not get this information about the DNC, John Podesta's emails. Can you tell the American people 1,000% you did not get it from Russia or anybody associated with Russia?
We can say, and we have said repeatedly over the last 2 months, that our source is not the Russian government and it is not a state party.
Throughout the presidential election, WikiLeaks released email.
Okay, so that's clear. Q has long suggested that the emails in question were actually leaked, not hacked, leaked by DNC staffer Seth Rich. Now, there's a lot of people who do not believe that to be true. However, in this interview Julian Assange had with a reporter, he brings up Seth Rich and Seth Rich's murder and states that their sources take risks. There's no other reason, logical reason, why Assange would bring up Seth Rich in this interview unless he was hinting that Seth Rich was their source.
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
that was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So,
what are you suggesting?
Well, I'm suggesting that our sources take risks, and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources
are. But why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are in the United States, and that our sources are, you know, our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. That's basically what you're doing.
Well, that others have suggested that we are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich. I think it is a concerning situation. There's not a conclusion yet. We wouldn't be willing to state a conclusion, but we are concerned about it.
All right, so Assange all but comes out and says to this guy, yeah, well, Seth Rich was our source. I mean, the guy's asking him, why would you even bring up Seth Rich if you're not suggesting Seth Rich was your source? Well, that is exactly what he's suggesting, but WikiLeaks never divulges, comes out and says who their sources are. They'll tell you who their sources aren't. So anyway, The FBI was not able to conclusively determine where the DNC Podesta emails came from because they never examined the evidence. James Comey said they requested access to the DNC server 3 times and they were denied access. So they never looked at the server. They don't know. All right. One of the Anons asked Q, what can you tell us about Assange, since Julian Assange was arrested and taken from the Ecuadorian embassy a few weeks ago? Q said, Assange is under protection. Threat is real. Key to the DNC source, hack, in quotes, 187 Q. All right, Q has been telling us for a long time that Assange has the source files that can prove where the DNC leak or hack came from, and that he is the threat of him being killed by people who don't want that information to be made public is very real, so Assange is under protection. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right. The FBI, then continuing with Carter Page's FISA application, they alleged that Page met with Russian officials, according to a trusted source identified as source number one. Carter Page, according to open source information in July of 2016, Page traveled to Russia, delivered a commencement address at the New Economics School. In addition to giving this address, the FBI learned that Page met with at least 2 Russian officials during this trip. First, according to information provided by an FBI confidential human source, Source 1, redacted, reported that Page had a redacted, and then it goes on to the next page. So Source 1 is actually Christopher Steele. Down here, there's a footnote, Source 1, has been an FBI source since this time is redacted. Source 1's reporting has been corroborated and used in criminal proceedings, and the FBI assesses Source 1 to be reliable. Source 1 has been compensated, there's a redaction there, by the FBI, and the FBI is unaware of any derogatory information pertaining to Source 1. And then it says Source 1, who now owns a foreign business financial intelligence firm, was approached by an identified U.S. person who indicated to Source 1. All right, that is Christopher Steele's private company, Orbis. He does intelligence work, private intelligence work. And the FBI said they're unaware of any derogatory information pertaining to Source 1. Well, actually, Christopher Steele was fired by the FBI that year for leaking information to the press. There was a lot of derogatory information about Christopher Steele, but they still included his allegations in the FISA application. And we know that the State Department sent a letter to the FBI in which they had information that Christopher Steele was politically motivated. He needed to get his story out before the election. That email went to the FBI and ended up at Peter Strzok's lap 10 days before the election. Now, we don't know if it came in before this FISA application because the dates are redacted, but it was in a very close time frame. Moving along. Next, the FBI cited a July 2016 Identified News Organization article. I reported that candidate one, that would be President Trump, his campaign worked behind the scenes to make sure a political party one, the Republican Party's platform, would not call for giving weapons to Ukraine to fight Russian rebel forces, contradicting the view of almost all political party one's Republican Party's foreign policy leaders in Washington. So here they are insinuating that Trump's campaign is softening their position on Russia and saying they're considering not giving weapons, selling weapons to Ukraine to fight Russia. All right. That was based on this article from the Washington Post, Josh Rogan, July 18. Trump campaign worked behind the scenes last week, make sure the new Republican platform won't call for giving weapons to Ukraine to fight Russian rebel forces. All right. This is an op-ed. This is not news. This is an opinion piece. All right. They're trying to smear Trump to make him look soft on Russia. And in fact, we know after he became president, he sold a lot of weapons to Ukraine to defend themselves against Russia. Next, the FBI cited an August 2016 Identified News Organization, Politico, an article implying that Trump had taken a milder tone on Russia's annexation of Crimea. Further, an August 2016 article published by an unidentified news organization characterized candidate one, that would be President Trump, as sounding like a supporter of Ukraine's territorial integrity in September of 2015, but he has adopted a milder tone regarding Russia's annexation of Crimea. 2016 article further reported that candidate one and said candidate one might recognize Crimea as Russian territory and lift sanctions against them. Well, here is the Politico article, and you can see in recent days, Trump has struck a far milder tone. He now says he might recognize Crimea as Russian territory and lift sanctions against Russia. So they're trying to paint Trump as being soft on Russia, and it's all about Russia, 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 that Trump is a stooge of Putin, that he's a puppet of Putin, right? And it's all based on these news articles. All right, then they went on to this. They even titled this Page's Denial of Cooperation with the Russian Government. This is really sad. On or about September 23rd, 2016, an identified news organization, Yahoo News, that'd be Isakov, published an article, September 23rd news article, which was written by the news organization's chief investigative correspondent, alleging that U.S. intelligence officials are investigating Page with respect to suspected efforts by the Russian government to influence the U.S. presidential election. It goes on to say that Carter Page categorically denied that he was under investigation or that he supported Russia. Now, that is a quote of this article, Michael Isakov, Yahoo News. And I would draw your attention, and this is, you can see September 23rd, that this is the article they're talking about. U.S. intelligence officials are seeking to determine whether an American businessman identified by Donald Trump as one of his foreign policy advisors has opened up private communications with Russian officials, including talks about possibly lifting economic sanctions if the Republican nominee becomes president. The activities of Trump advisor Carter Page, who has extensive business interests in Russia, have been discussed with senior members of Congress during recent briefings about suspected efforts by Moscow to influence a presidential election. So members of Congress like Harry Reid, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, probably, are discussing Carter Page and whether he might be working for Russia. The Yahoo News writes an article implying that because members of Congress are talking about Carter Page being working with Russia, that ends up in a FISA application. And Page categorically denied he was working with Russia, denied that he was under investigation. However, they made it into the application. And so this is the conclusion. As discussed above, FBI believes Carter Page has been collaborating and conspiring with the Russian government, redacted section, based on the foregoing facts, really, and circumstances. The FBI submits there is probable cause to believe that Page, redacted, knowingly engaged in clandestine intelligence activities for or on behalf of such foreign power, or knowingly conspiring with other persons to engage in such activities, and is an agent of a foreign power. So that is their conclusion, and then you have the signatures and everything else. Now, the interesting thing about all of this, of course, is Carter Page was never charged with any crimes in relation to his alleged activities on behalf of Russia, wasn't even entered into the Mueller investigation. That tells you how solid their conclusions and their evidence are. All right. This was the latest from James Comey. He tweeted this out. Investigate whatever you wish about 2016, but don't forget the people of the FBI must investigate and stop Russian efforts in 2020 election. What impact will loose talk about spying and disgraceful talk about treason have on FBI agents and analysts? Well, we know that the president has been pretty blunt lately talking about the fact that these people committed treason. And even to the point where one of the reporters said, Mr. President, you do realize that treason carries a death sentence. And then the reporter asked him, who did he think was guilty of treason? He specifically named McCabe, Comey, Strzok, and Page. The reporter thought he was going to get him to walk back his comments, but he didn't. All right. In answer to Comey's question, hopefully the investigation of the investigators will uncover corrupt practices and further convince field agents and their supervisors to do work by the book, which is what Comey says they were doing the whole time, but we know that they weren't. All right. Someone asked me, when was Q's first mention of D-class? And this was actually January 19th of 2018, so almost a year and a half ago. Was that 16 months ago? This is a post where Q said 13 people, including Barack Obama, used private email addresses. Who used private email addresses? What was the purpose? LL Loretta Lynch, HRC Hillary, Comey, Clapper, CS Chuck Schumer, AM Andrew McCabe, we don't say his name, would be John McCain, RR Rod Rosenstein, SR Susan Rice, HA Huma Abedin, Valerie Jarrett. Did Hussein use a private email address? He did. All right, and then down here at the bottom, D-class, these people are stupid, D-class POTUS shot heard around the world. So 16 months ago, the president was, and Q were talking about declassification. And now we're finally getting it. Interestingly enough, this claim by Q that 13 people, including Obama, used private email addresses for government work was confirmed in June, so 5 months later, when the DOJ Inspector General's report on the Hillary Clinton email investigation revealed that 13 people did indeed use private emails to communicate with Hillary Clinton on her private server. Interesting that Q somehow knew that 5 months before everybody else did. All right. Q reposted a prior drop that explains that the public is aware of FISA and they're aware of the Steele dossier. Q is suggesting that people reread the drops about Five Eyes, the Five Eyes intelligence, spying agreement between UK, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, United States. It is essentially done to avoid domestic data collection laws. Most countries have laws against their own intelligence agencies spying on their own citizens. However, there's nothing to stop the UK from spying on US citizens, or Australia from spying on US citizens, and that's exactly what they did in this. So this was ordered by Obama. What is not public is that Five Eyes, UK, Australia, was used to target political opponents, set up decoy meetings with people like Veselnitskaya, insert spies into the campaign, and then it involves Obama, Hillary, Loretta Lynch, Brennan, Clapper, the National Security Council, the White House Situation Room, let's see, UK, Australia assisted in the setup. And so we're going to be finding out all about that pretty soon. Most of us know about it, but we're going to be learning a lot more. Q then reposted one of the Anons who dropped this. It is an explanation of what FISA does. And this is a bit hard to read, so I'm going to go back to the original post from 8chan. It's this one. FISA is the start. FISA, this is declassification, will immediately confirm illegal acts regarding the signers. And one thing I would say, and that is it's important to understand who the signers are and what their responsibilities are. FISA applications start in the FBI. They're filled out by and attested to by one of the FBI agents. All right, so the FBI agent is the affiant. They fill out this affidavit and they attest to the accuracy of it. The application is then signed by the FBI director or deputy director, and then it's taken over to the DOJ. The DOJ has to do some fact-checking. They look through the information to verify it, and then it's signed by either the attorney general or deputy attorney general. All right. FISA immediately confirms the start of the Hussein spy campaign to rig an election was based on false information. FISA D-class implicates Hillary, the D party, as feeders of false info with the intent of securing the mainstream media blast insurance. FISA implicates senior members of UK, MI5, MI6, and SIS, US intelligence, White House, Five Eyes, Republican Party, Congress, and Senate of known corruption in an effort to retain power and rig an election, plus safeguard events by political kill to act while in, my political kill to act while in power, given MSM fake push Russian narrative. FISA ties mainstream media heads, TV, behind the scenes, and corporations to the D party, other foreign heads of state in a co-op strategy. FISA brings down the house. This is the section that was highlighted by Q. So declassed by POTUS, key parts that factually demonstrate the dirty fake dossier was used as a primary source to secure highest level intel spying on primary Republican opponent, plus post-election intel assets for domestic spying on the President of the United States for the Office of the Presidency of the United States of America, logical thinking, public awareness, FISA spying, foundation built Huber, no spelling errors intended, on mobile, unknown if above. All right, so Q posted this poster, FISA Gate, preview of coming attractions. All right, now on April 27th, Joe DiGenova dropped a bombshell about a report on James Comey that was about to be made public. Now I'm going to listen to this clip here.
Robert Ray mentioned that there is the Horowitz report coming out in May or possibly early June. There's another report that everybody has forgotten about involving James Comey alone. That will be out in 2 weeks. That report is going to be a bombshell. It's going to open up the investigation on a very high note, and there will be criminal referrals in it.
All right. So at the time that Joe DiGenova dropped that bomb, that was a month ago, by the way. That was on April 27th. None of us had knew anything about a Comey report coming out. All right. So the anons were asking, okay, Q, what about the Comey report? Where does this fit into everything? Comey said, C comes before D. Is Comey going to come before or after D class? Right. We know from previous drops that D class comes before the IG report. Q had told us that. The question was, where does the Comey report fit in? Before or after D class? Before or after the IG report? Well, he said C comes before D, so my assumption was a Comey report was going to come before D class and way before the IG report. All right. So the Anon here asked Q, what about the Comey report? All right. And Q then replied this, moves and counter moves. Misdirection sometimes creates one person to turn on another publicly. C, Comey report is going to be coming soon. I'm taking the C in the brackets as Comey report. So Q let the world know that the Comey report was coming before D-class. Comey, Brennan, Clapper, what's his name? The FBI General Counsel, James Baker, have all been on TV, spinning their narratives, pointing at each other, blaming other people publicly, and trying to claim their innocence, right? A lot of that came after Joe DiGenova dropped that bomb about the Comey report coming. So it seems like the game theory here actually worked. And it does look like we're going to be getting the Comey report soon. We don't know when, though. All right. So then we've got this, and this is, I don't know who posted this. Stay frosty, Q team. Us patriots doing the same. Thanks for the heads up. Remember, Anons, the misled are fellow citizens, and love conquers all. If I didn't know better, I would swear that was Methods, our friend on Twitter, but I don't know because he's anonymous. Q posted this, the posters of coming attractions. We've got 45, we've got the tarmac, FISA Gate, Trump 2020, and sanctions are coming. Memes are very effective. I think I'm going to write a chapter on memes in one of the coming books on Q. I just got inspired by an article that somebody sent me about memes the other day. Okay, so this is an addendum. A lot of you are aware that the Daily Beast, and the Daily Dot, and a lot of other magazines are publishing hit pieces on Q, and they're publishing hit pieces on individual leaders and people and decoders in the movement, including myself. Other people like to publish videos that trash us. And a lot of this stuff ends up on Twitter. Even from people who are friends of mine, they're posting this stuff on Twitter. As tempting as it is to repost these articles and videos, I don't think we're helping our movement when we do that. We are forming our own circular firing squad, just like the deep state. We are shooting at each other. I don't like this person's view. I don't like what this person is doing. I think that person can't be trusted. And we take aim and shoot at one another. And I think that is really a bad idea. The haters and our critics have no social media relevance outside of our movement. Do you think anyone outside of the Q movement is reading those hit pieces on Q and me and other leaders in the movement? No one's reading them. The only people who are reading them are when they post it in our movement, on the board, on Reddit, and on Twitter. These people have no relevance other than the relevance we give them. They want us divided, and when we post their nonsense, we are giving them exactly what they want. It just causes more division. I think we should consider not posting this stuff anymore. I think we should ignore it, and I think we should focus on the positive things and what information Q is putting out and building each other up, and we need to get rid of this circular firing squad mentality. And we have a couple of drops from Q this morning, and let me show you this one first, actually. Q posted this morning, ask yourself a very simple question. With the fake news media and other controlled assets, expend this amount of time and resource attacking, attempt to discredit, cast a conspiracy. This movement, if it did not pose a significant threat, danger, you attack those who threaten you the most. Logical thinking. Is it just a coincidence that Q dropped this post after I did a thread on the circular firing squad? I don't know. I don't know if Q is confirming the sentiment that I'm putting out on my thread, but Q is definitely, again, asking why the attacks? Why is all this attacking going on? And it's not just attacking Q, it's attacking people in the movement. I think Q is also putting a finger on this issue, that anyone who is attacking Q or attacking leaders in the movement has an agenda, controlled assets and fake news media. I think Q is kind of suggesting to us that we need to pay attention to this and not involve ourselves in this continued attack on people in the movement. All right. Q also posted this. It's a link to a Twitter status. Japan public, China non-public, South Korea non-public, Q. And that was this. It looks like Phoenix24, who is getting a whole lot of love this morning on Twitter, having all kinds of people follow them, posted this picture. President's in Japan right now. And this picture, Japan knows Q. Do you think this movement was an isolated anomaly? It's bigger than you can imagine. Where we go one, we go all worldwide. All right. And let's see. Oh, you know what? I wanted to show this to you real quick. It's a Q proof. So back in November 2017, it's actually November 12th, Q posted this, Patriots don't sleep. 40,000-foot view is necessary to understand U.S.-Saudi global events. So we're talking about global events context. Paint the picture. Got a decreased altitude. We will not fly that high again. So when Q talks about flying high, 40,000-foot view, it's looking at the big picture of global corruption, the takedown of global corruption, and the big picture view. Okay. Many people cannot or will not swallow, you know, what's going on with the bankers and the Saudi corrupt princes and all that. What is no such agency, Q Group, NSA Q Group, who has clearance to the full picture. That would be the NSA Q Group. Important. Signals intelligence is good. Admiral Rogers, plus, plus, plus. What agency is at war with clowns in America? We know that CIA and the NSA have been at war for a long time. How does the president shift the narrative? New age of enlightenment. 80% covert, 20% public. Q said that 80% of the information that they had on global corruption would have to remain classified, but 20% of it would be made public. Now, since then, there were a number of discussions with Anons on the board, and the Anons convinced Q and the team and the president to change that. They're going to make 60%, they're going to make 40% public and 60% will remain classified. The point being that back in November 12th, 2017, new age of enlightenment. This is not talking about the age of Aquarius or the new age. It is talking about an age where people are going to understand because they're going to make public classified information. People are going to be aware of the corruption on a global scale. Now, over here, May 24th, a couple days ago, President tweeted this, real trade war began 30 years ago and we lost. This was back when China was given most favored nation trading status and they joined the World Trade Organization after that. This is a bright new age, the age of enlightenment. New age of enlightenment. All right, same exact words. We don't lose anymore. All right, so nice little cue proof there to end this video. I did want to say this. I have been receiving some prophetic revelation from friends that is concerning about the president's safety. And I am asking people, and I'm asking them on Twitter and Facebook and social media, keep the president in prayer, particularly safety. All this exposure of corruption is going to make the deep state desperate. And when the deep state gets desperate, there is an increased chance that they might try to harm the president and his family. So I am asking and imploring all of you to pray for the president to be kept safe. All right. Love you all. Take care. I'll catch you on the next broadcast.